It's the Joy Cardine Show, and I'm Kate Archer-Kent, sitting in for Joy on the Ideas Network. It's 8:08 on this frigid Thursday morning. We're talking about being in the right mindset for retirement. We have this vision of retirement, like those ads you see, people perfecting their golf swing, watching the sunset, sitting on a bench. But what's going on in their head, for real? Research from the Institute of Economic Affairs in London says retirement can increase the chances of suffering from clinical depression by around 40%. We're examining the different angles of retirement and how it impacts us with Emily Brandon. She's senior editor for retirement at U.S. News and World Report. She's also the author of Pensionless, the 10-step solution for a stress-free retirement. Emily, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we've had several high-profile retirements lately, and that tipped off some producers to start thinking, well, you know what? We should do a show about this. We bid farewell to a beloved WPR voice and icon, John Munson, who filled in on this show from time to time. And he's probably a lot warmer than us right now in Arizona. So while it's a big change for us who are still here at WPR, it's an even bigger change for those who've retired or are about to go into this new chapter in life. What advice would you offer our newly retired colleagues on making the most out of retirement?
Well, retirement is the beginning of a new lifestyle that doesn't involve going to work every day. And so it's a chance to try something new, to reinvent your life. At the beginning of retirement, it's often a chance to relax, and you need a plan for what you're going to do all day. But eventually, people often branch out and do volunteer work or do a part-time job. And it's really the beginning of a new opportunity in life to do something different than you might have done early in your career when you had lots of work responsibilities and family responsibilities. And suddenly you have this opportunity to fill your days however you want to.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but retirement is really a complex thing that you're planning on perhaps years, decades in advance, many decades perhaps, some people who are really thinking ahead. Getting to this point in life, it takes a lot of work and planning. Are most people doing enough these days to even make it possible?
So most of us don't receive a traditional pension through our jobs anymore, so it's up to us to fund our own retirement. There is a lot you can do to make the best of the retirement benefits you do have now, from maximizing Social Security and Medicare to taking advantage of different tax breaks to save for retirement. But it does take some effort to do it on an individual basis. And each of us has to learn about the retirement benefits we do have and learn how to use them, especially 401ks and IRAs, which is what most of us have now. And you have to, on your own, you have to fund those, invest in them appropriately, and avoid fees and penalties. So you have to really pay attention to those and learn how to use them in order to save enough to retire.
And it seems like there's so much conflicting information out there about planning for retirement, and everything that every step we take, every action we take has consequences. How do we make sense of it all?
You really do have to learn about the resources that you have available to you. Obviously, the younger you start planning, the easier it is. But even closer to retirement, there are ways to start putting away a significant portion of your salary. And there are tax breaks available to you if you will do that, often employer contributions. And so if you have access to any of those, it's very important to take advantage of them and to pay attention to the rules so you don't get hit with fees and penalties if you don't use them correctly. So looking closely at that and making sure you take advantage of these benefits is very important.
You've been writing about retirement for a number of years now and wondering, you know, even if you have a plan for retirement, you're sticking with that plan, how do you really know that it's the best path for you and that retirement plan is working when you can't see the end result?
I I like to say that retirement is something that can happen to you while you're making other plans. A lot of retirements end up being unexpected due to a health problem or a job loss, or if you need to take care of a spouse or another family member. So in a lot of cases, retirement can actually be unexpected. And so you need a plan for how to cope with that. You don't always get a choice when you retire. Ideally, you would, you know, save up enough to retire, and then once you accumulate a nest egg big enough to pay your bills, then you would retire. But it doesn't always happen that way. Often there's a trigger that pushes you into retirement. And so it's not always a choice. So it's good to save earlier and a little more than you think you will need, just in case that happens to you. And so ideally, you would get to choose, but it doesn't always work that way.
We've been talking with Emily Brandon about being prepared for retirement. She's senior editor for retirement at U.S. News and World Report. Looked at a survey recently by United Health Group, found volunteerism improves a person's mood in retirement. The survey from 2013 found volunteering lowered stress levels by 78%, and about the same percentage thought volunteerism makes them healthier. How about you? How have you made retirement more enjoyable, or how do you plan to make retirement the best it can be? What lessons do you have as an established retiree for those who have not retired yet, and what challenges are you being faced with? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Emily, so what about volunteerism? Have you heard anecdotes that it is really a powerful tool in retirement?
It is. So when you retire, the social environment you were in at work gets left behind. So you don't have those lunches, you don't have those meetings, and your sense of self changes because you're not getting invited to all of those social events that you used to be a big part of. And so you have to recreate this new social circle on your own. And it can help a lot if you have volunteer work, or you can also do it through a part-time job if you need the income. But if you have a place to go and people who need you in retirement, or you feel like you're helping others, that can really play a role in making you happier in retirement and making you feel like you have someone who needs you, or you have something to get up and go do every day. And that can really help make your retirement more enjoyable every day if you have a place to go and something you do that gives you a sense of purpose.
Yeah, and also the camaraderie, I would assume, from being at that place of volunteerism can open up new friendships and also new connections and possibly other pursuits.
Yeah, and I think that it helps with the retirement transition if you have some idea of what you want to do next. And so you'll have this new social circle, and you'll have something new to work on every day. So you might want to relax at the beginning of retirement, but eventually you'll want to have something that you do to be part of a community. And I think volunteer work really helps with that.
So once you're a few years away from retirement, what are the questions you really need to be asking at that point?
So as you approach retirement, you want to save as much as you can from your job. You also want to look at your mortgage. You can consider trying to pay off your mortgage and pay off the last of your debt before you retire. Another good one is to look at downsizing and whether you need the current size house you have now, or whether you can move into a less expensive house in order to save money. You can cut back your expenses, and that can help a lot with your existing savings and your Social Security being able to cover your monthly bills if you can bring them down a little bit.
Yeah, and so let's look at that a little bit. What are some ways you can reduce your expenses? Because in retirement, you might not have as much month to month to live on.
So paying off your mortgage is one of the surest ways to reduce your retirement expenses. Downsizing your home can actually even give your retirement savings a quick and significant boost if you move into a place that costs significantly less than where you live now. Obviously, you have to factor in all the transactional costs and the cost of the move itself. But it can help give you a little more money to help fund the rest of your retirement. You might also be able to retire sooner if you're willing to reduce the amount you spend every month. There's a lot of ways to do this. You can take advantage of senior discounts, see what you may have time to do yourself that you may have paid for in the past, home maintenance, housekeeping, convenience food, things that while you were working, you paid to make working easier, but you might be able to take on some of those things yourself now in retirement to save money. Working people are often short on time and spend money to make their life a little easier. Retirees have time, and sometimes they can use that time to save money.
So use the time to in your benefit to save dollars. Let's go to the phones now with Patty from Madison. Hi, Patty.
Hey, how are you?
Great. What do you have to add about this retirement conversation?
Well, this is something I think about and talk about regularly with my family, but I am a crossing guard supervisor for the City of Madison Police Department, and having a part-time job for retirees is something that can help them to increase their income and not have to draw down their assets quite so quickly. And it also gives retirees the social outlet. They have parents and children that they communicate with on a daily basis. They have fellow crossing guards that they can meet with on a weekly basis. So it's a good social outlet. It's good to stay in better health because you're out working outdoors. So it's just a great opportunity for retirees.
Thanks, Patty. Emily, what would you say to this?
I think it's a great idea. It works on several levels. It gives you an opportunity to make new friends and socialize. Any income you have coming in that allows you to delay using your retirement savings is obviously going to help give your existing retirement savings more time to grow, and so you don't have to withdraw it as quickly. A part-time job works on several levels, and it's often a great thing for retirees to do to improve their finances and their social life.
And what other part-time jobs are really popular among these newly retired people out there? What have you heard in terms of part-time jobs?
So there are a couple of different ways to do it. Some employers have these phased retirement programs where you can gradually reduce your hours. So you might be able to cut back to part-time or working a few days a week. And so some companies will let you gradually transition into retirement. And in some cases, you're not allowed to do that. So in that case, you might want to move to a part-time position in your own industry. Or sometimes people want to switch to something completely different. And this can be an opportunity to do something you enjoy. If you like to play golf, you can try to get a job at a golf club, and you might get the perk of, getting a few free rounds of golf. Or if you're very interested in wine, you might be able to work in a wine shop. So there are, you might be able to find a part-time job that matches your interests. A lot of retirees also work part-time at a museum that they're interested in. You can help give tours there or something like that. Sometimes that's a volunteer job, but sometimes it can be paid. So it's good to look at where your interests lie and to try to find a part-time job in that field.
We're talking with Emily Brandon of U.S. News and World Report. She's a senior editor for retirement. She's also written the book Pensionless, the 10-Step Solution for a Stress-Free Retirement. How about you? Are you an established retiree with some tips for someone who is entering this phase in life? And what challenges have you faced in retirement that you weren't prepared for? Join the conversation 800-642-1234 or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll pick up the discussion on retirement and how to reduce the stress of this life change. Back in a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. Welcome back to the Joy Cardine Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, sitting in for Joy. We're taking a look at retirement. Recent research has found that seniors who continue to work after age 65 are healthier than people who are retired. The National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion followed more than 83,000 adults who were over 65 and found those who were still working past 65 were approximately 3 times more likely to report being in good health compared with those who had retired. So where are you at in your 60s? How are you feeling about this life change? What question do you have about making the financial and emotional step in this brand new phase of life? Add your voice to the conversation at 800-642-1234 or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Emily Brandon stays with us. She's the author of Pensionless, the 10-Step Solution for a Stress-Free Retirement. Emily, are you hearing more and more of a trend toward just not retiring, just staying on with the job and working much later in life?
A lot of people say that in surveys, that they would like to work longer. And it works on several levels if you work longer, because it gives you more time to save. It gives your existing savings more time to grow. And it also you stay connected when you're at your job. It gives you a sense of purpose, and it gives you a place to go every day, and that's very important to retirees to have that. But you don't always get to stay at your job as long as you would like to. So it's very important to continue your education, to keep up with skills, so that you can hold on to your job as long as you want to. And that plays an important role to try to keep active and to keep up with current technology and to make sure you keep up your skills as you get older so that you can work as long as you would like to.
Let's go to phones with Jerry from Lake Mills. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. I would say work as long as you can and get a part-time job after you have retired from the full-time job. With our Social Security practically flatlined and the pension that I'm in has practically flatlined. From your on-point program that comes after yours in the morning, they had on the fellow who I believe he was the idea man behind the 401ks.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at a very rocky future for 401ks because so many people are retiring and so many people have to cash out because they've been unemployed for so long. And I would say pay off your house, pay off that car, pay off everything you can. Don't go into retirement with any kind of debts at all.
Emily, what would you say to that advice?
I think that's great advice. Any debts that you can pay off before you retire will make it easier to live on the amount that you have saved and the amount you have coming in. If you can get your bills low enough so that a part-time job will pay most of your bills, that would be ideal.
Let's go to Connie from Wanakee. Hi, Connie.
Hi, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to comment that I've been retired for going on 5 years now, and sometimes I feel that you can be taken advantage of during that supposedly free time that you have earned. I have found that my children have expected me to babysit a lot for my grandkids during that time. And although I love my grandkids to death, it's number one, exhausting for me. And I find that I'm driving back and forth a lot, and it's really taken up a lot of my time. And then financially, too, there's always things that come up that you're not prepared for, like helping your kids, helping your grandkids. You know, it just goes on and on.
Emily, what would you say about how to say no to things people want you to do in retirement?
So I think that happens a lot. People assume that because you're retired, you have time to help with a lot of free labor, like taking care of your grandchildren, helping with errands. A lot of, you know, very busy working families might assume that you have time to help with that. And so it's important to learn how to say no to that, or how to say it in a nice way. You know, I'd be willing to babysit this one time, but I don't want to be a babysitter for free all of the time. I'd be willing to do it, you know, once a month, or if you have an emergency. But on a regular basis, you know, you might want to hire a babysitter, and so that it can be a special grandparent time. And so you have to make those boundaries very clear. If you do have a volunteer work or something like that set up, that can make it easier to say no because you have a reason to say it. But it is important, especially at the beginning of your retirement, to establish those boundaries so people don't say, oh, you're retired now, you have all this time, I want you to help me with X, Y, and Z. Try to set up those boundaries up front so that people don't take advantage of your time.
Connie, thank you so much for calling. Mark from Duluth. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. Enjoyed the topic this morning. I retired about a year ago at age 62 and have a pension from public service and so on. But what I wanted to do was something very different rather than pick up a similar part-time job. But I wanted to stay engaged in some way to be mentally challenged. So I was thinking of doing a blog. And as I was working on that idea, then one of my kids said, well, Dad, why don't you do a podcast?
Ah.
And so I thought, well, that's interesting. And so about a year later now, I just was able to launch the podcast and have three episodes, and I'm in iTunes. So it was like a very unexpected but very energizing, learn something new, stay engaged. You have a reason to read this book because you've got people that might want to hear about it, that sort of thing. So anyway, just another idea.
Emily, what would you think about trying something brand new in retirement, something you haven't done before?
Well, first I'd say, you know, congratulations for launching a podcast like that. That's a big achievement. And anytime you can turn a hobby into a new activity like that, in some cases, if you get a blog, you can start making a little bit of money from it. And so if you can turn a hobby into a way to make a little extra income, it works on several levels because you enjoy doing the work and you might eventually get a little bit of extra income coming in. And so it's a great way to try something new in retirement and eventually have some income coming in.
We're talking with Emily Brandon about being prepared for retirement. She's senior editor for retirement at U.S. News and World Report. Emily, let's stop here a little for a moment and talk about Social Security. You can start claiming Social Security payments beginning at age 62, but it doesn't necessarily mean you should. What do you advise here?
So the age you sign up for benefits plays a big role in how much you receive from Social Security. This is actually one of the most important retirement decisions you will make is when to claim benefits. The longer you wait between ages 62 and 70, the higher your monthly payments will be for the rest of your life. There's also a couple of other strategies that you can use. You can coordinate benefits with a spouse and work together to maximize your benefit as a couple. And if you expect one spouse to live longer than the other, you also have to worry about the benefits the surviving spouse will receive. So there is some room to maneuver to make sure that you will get a higher amount of benefits going forward. And so it's very important to consider this choice very carefully before you sign up for benefits.
On the other side, there is this emotional transition you undertake in retirement. You know, you might have spent decades planning for retirement, and then it finally gets here. And maybe it's not what you quite expected. What do you think people need to be thinking about in order to ease this transition and not be so stressed going into retirement?
So from a financial perspective, you've been saving your entire life, and in most years, your account balance goes up every year. And then suddenly in retirement, you're drawing from that, and you're watching your account balance go down every year as you're taking withdrawals from that. And that can be psychologically difficult to watch your account balance go down each year and wonder if you'll have enough to last the rest of your life. It helps if you have a strategy to draw it down, but it's still psychologically difficult if you've been saving all that time to watch it go down every year. And so you need to have a plan to make sure you don't spend it too quickly. But there's also this psychological transition. Often in our country, our jobs play a big role in who we are and how we talk about ourselves. We often introduce ourselves by our job. And in retirement, you need to have something else to say. People will still ask you, what do you do? And so you need to have something else to say. It could be funny, or it could be sarcastic, or it could be serious. But you need to have a way to introduce yourself when you meet people.
And we'd like to hear from you. What strategies work for you as you are in retirement or approach retirement? And what have been the biggest challenges? But what are you excited for in retirement? 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, how did you plan for retirement throughout life? And is it what you thought it would be? We'd love to hear from you and give us some tips for people who are approaching retirement here in 2017. Again, the number 800-642-1234. Emily, full-time retirement isn't for everyone. We've been learning about alternatives such as work, encore careers, sometimes it's called. If people are turning a second passion into a career, is there some advice you have for them as they embark on a different career path or something totally different? What advice would you have?
So in some cases, there are career retraining programs where you might be able to transition into something, into a new career such as teaching. So you might be able to do a short retraining program that'll help you to transition into a new type of work. There's also a lot of colleges give significant discounts to retirees who are above a certain age. Sometimes they even have free tuition at colleges if you are above a certain age and a state resident. So I would look into your local college, and if they have classes either geared specifically to retirees or if they offer some kind of tuition discount to retirees so that you could take some classes in to transition into a new career that you're interested in.
There's also been this trend I've read about selling off your assets and being a globetrotter, not having an address, going all over the world and being more leading a more of a nomadic retirement lifestyle. Can you talk about this?
Sure. I would say travel is often a goal of retirees. While you're working, you get 2 weeks of vacation every year and you try to cram all your travel into that amount of time. And suddenly you can go anywhere that you want to. And people often have a pent-up demand for travel that they didn't get to do when they were busy working. And so suddenly you can travel as much as you want to. Now, often this occurs in the beginning part of retirement. So that's when you are the healthiest and you have the most energy and you're eager to travel like that. But often later in retirement, people slow down a little bit and then they get a more fixed address in the later part of retirement. So it's something to probably take advantage of early on in your retirement while you still have the health and the ability to do that.
Here's another couples-related question. Dean on Facebook writes, I'm a couple years away from retirement. My wife has spent most of our marriage as a stay-at-home mom and has been supportive of it. We'll probably want some supplemental income in retirement, but would like to find a job that we could do together. Do you have any ideas if such things exist?
You could try to do something like that. An area where that might work is with seasonal work. And so if you want to work at a park in the summer or something like that where they hire a lot of workers at a specific time of year, you might be able to get a job together. But speaking of couples in retirement, there's actually a lot of interesting things to talk about when you're retiring with a spouse, because you often have to renegotiate how much time you spend together. You're used to spending evenings and weekends together, but suddenly you're together all of the time in retirement. And so you have to, first of all, you have to renegotiate who does what, because you have different, when you're together all day, it might change, you know, whose job it is to unload the dishwasher. So you have to renegotiate who does what, and you also have to renegotiate how much time you will spend together and how much time you will spend apart. And so sometimes a part-time job is an opportunity to spend a little bit of time apart, and then you come back together in the evening like you did when you were working. So I would carefully think about, you know, how much time you're going to spend together and then what separate time you will enjoy.
And what about the nonprofit world? I'm thinking about if you're in very good health, perhaps joining the Peace Corps or doing something charitable work on a missionary status in another country. What about programs like that?
It's a great idea to look into doing programs like that, and often you can do them with a lot of other retirees, so it's a good way to make friends and accomplish the goals of the organization at the same time. So you get both of those benefits when you do that, and you get to travel, and so you get to go to parts of the world you may not have gone to before or that you went to for a week, but now you can spend a significant amount of time there. So it works on many levels. There's also group travel. So there's a lot of programs like that you can look into that are geared specifically to retirees.
Let's take a call now, Jim from Wanakee. Hi, Jim.
Well, good morning, and thanks for the program. Just a quick comment. I'm retired, and I've been enjoying a nice retirement. I had worked in as a mental health specialist for many years, and went out. You were talking earlier about, kind of like almost being forced into retirement. I fell off a ladder. Broke my foot. It was hard to get over that, but once I got into the mode of trying to adjust to it properly, it took off, and I became an artist over time. It kind of totally changed my career. I call it, I don't get any money for it because I don't sell my stuff, but it's very rewarding and satisfying. But the point I wanted to make is about the fact that I had very good insurance, and so I was very important. But I know a lot of people, and they get into retirement, and now with the affordable health care thing being cut out, it is probably one of the most important things to keep you from going into poverty. If you don't have, don't have good insurance, as we know that when we get older, we're going to have more health problems, most likely, and more expensive, and with the thing of privatizing Medicare and possibility of reducing, government subsidies of that, I'm just pessimistic about the future for retirees. And
let's unpack this for a moment. What Jim is talking about with insurance, Emily, there's health insurance, of course, life insurance, long-term care insurance. What do we need to know about insurance in retirement?
So I want to thank you for bringing that up, because that's one of the most important aspects of retirement, and we haven't talked about that at all yet. It's incredibly important to make sure that you have health insurance in retirement. A lot of people wait until they're 65 to retire simply so that they can sign up for Medicare. But even with Medicare, it's very important to sign up for Medicare on time, starting 3 months before your 65th birthday. If you're still working at 65, you need to sign up within 8 months of leaving the job or your group coverage ending. If you don't sign up when you are first eligible to do so, you might have to pay higher premiums for the rest of your life. So it's very important to pay attention to your Medicare initial enrollment period and sign up then so that you will have the insurance that you need, and so you won't be subject to these late enrollment penalties for the rest of your life. If you retire before 65, that's when you need to look at setting up another form of health insurance that isn't connected to your job. Some people get retiree health insurance through their job after they retire, but not very many. So it's very important to look into making sure you have this coverage set up before you leave your job.
We've been learning about how to get fully prepared for entering retirement with our guest, Emily Brandon, Senior Editor for Retirement at U.S. News and World Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, sitting in for Joy Cardine. We know that retirement can be a stressful life event, and so we're talking a lot about the emotional issues also that are packed in there with it. Are you retiring this year? How do you feel about this life change? Are you worried about the next stage of life? And what is it that's most worrisome? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll dig into more issues surrounding retirement after this short break. Good morning to you. You're listening to The Joy Cardine Show, and I'm Kate Archer-Kent, sitting in for Joy on this retirement discussion. So much to think about, so much on the table in retirement. There's the financial impact, but also the emotional strain of leaving the workforce. We're talking with journalist Emily Brandon about this phase in life. Her beat is retirement at U.S. News and World Report. She's a senior editor there. Emily, we were talking about health insurance a moment ago. What about life insurance and then long-term care insurance? Heard policies for long-term care insurance very expensive. What choices should we think about in these types of insurance?
So with long-term care insurance, it's primarily people who have some assets in the bank that long-term care insurance is the best match for, because you don't want to spend down all your assets on one spouse's health problem and then have no savings left for the other spouse. So it's primarily when you have a significant amount of savings in the bank that you want to protect that you should really look into these long-term care insurance policies. Now, they are very expensive and they have a lot of rules, so you want to pay close attention to that if you do buy one. What people without a lot of income do is they actually end up spending down most of their savings and then they qualify for Medicaid, which will pay for long-term care. As you probably already know, Medicare does not. Medicare only pays for a very limited amount of long-term care, up to about 100 days. And then after that, it won't cover long-term care expenses. And Medicare also only covers it in very specific circumstances. You have to be hospitalized first. So there's very specific rules and a limited amount of time Medicare will pay for long-term care. After that, you're sort of on your own unless you have one of these long-term care insurance policies.
Let's go to Randy in Stoughton. Hi, Randy.
Hi, guys. This is an awesome, timely topic, and thank you for letting me speak. I am a co-owner of a Madison Real Estate Investors Association, and this jumps back about 10 minutes to a caller who asked if there were any, like, mother-daughter type of teams out there. Well, let me tell you, we have a mother-daughter, a mother-son, and a father-son team. They're all three different teams. They are incorporated, so they're an actual business, and they are working in real estate as real estate investors.
How do you feel about pairing up with a family member, such as a son or daughter, and working on an endeavor together in retirement?
So people who are retired often make good entrepreneurs because they have worked in a career throughout much of their life, and they have the contacts, the knowledge, the skills to really be a successful small business owner. And doing this with your children allows you to maybe do it in a more advisory role or on a part-time basis so that your children take on some of the responsibility. And so that will also give you the increased leisure time that you might want in retirement or to cut back a little bit. So I think it's really great, and it allows you to spend time with your children. So it works on many levels, and making it a family affair like that actually I think could make it work better than just starting a business on your own, which might take all of your time. Doing it with family members gives you people to really share the responsibilities with.
And retirees get inundated with so much information, a lot of insurance offers, other offers in the mail and by phone. There's AARP information. Are these offers worth considering, and how should we decide what is worth our time to look at and what perhaps even may be a scam?
I would be very careful of any offer that comes to you, because if it's truly a good deal for you, often you have to seek that out. So anything that's coming in the mail or on the phone, I mean, it's not 100% of the time that it won't be a good fit for you, but I would be very skeptical of anyone who's calling you up to try to sell you something or to tell you they're from the IRS or anything like that. I would be very skeptical of the offers that are coming to you. Often the types of insurance or products that you want that are going to be in your best interest, you want to shop around for those and not just go with the one that you got a flyer in the mail for. I would shop very carefully and consider several options before you buy any kind of financial products in retirement.
Are there any helpful resources out there that you can check the credibility of what you get in the mail?
I would say AARP is a great example of a very helpful organization that can help you parse through some of the offers that you get. I would just largely compare several options before you do any of it. So I would go online and read a couple of articles about it and try to really do your research. Sometimes it's helpful to sit down with a financial advisor or just get a second opinion from someone you trust about something before you buy it and make sure that you do some research before, especially before you hand out your credit card number or any personal information.
Carol on Facebook has a comment here. Carol and her husband have been retired for 3 years and they've taken separate paths a little bit in retirement. Her husband chose to work part-time as a gopher at a construction company while she calls herself a stay-at-home grandma while her husband goes to work part-time. She says she loves the freedom to do sewing, cooking, and some volunteering on the side. So looking at Carol's position, not spending all their time together, but doing two different things that they like to do.
I think that's really smart to come up with things that you both really like to do separately, and then you come together later and do the things that you like to do together at a different time. And it's really important to set up those new boundaries when you retire and to each have your own separate things that you enjoy doing and then things you'll enjoy doing together. And so you also have to talk about who's going to do what in retirement, and that changes. When you leave your job, you often have a very established routine while you're working, and it's clearly defined who does what activities. When you retire, that all changes. And so all over again, it's like any major transition in life, like when you have a baby or anything like that, you have to redecide who's going to do what, and you have these you have new responsibilities, but also new things that you want to do. And so you have to think very carefully about who's going to do what. And if you invest some time figuring that out at the beginning of retirement, it makes the transition into retirement easier. And on an ongoing basis, you can really enjoy your time separate and together.
We're talking with Emily Brandon, who is a journalist focused on retirement at U.S. News and World Report. You're saying keep those communication lines open, Emily, in talking with your spouse about what happens in retirement. Let's go to Sally now in Eau Claire. Hi, Sally.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to share with you that I've been retired for 2.5 years. I did retire early from a very stressful position in the medical field. Had done it all my life, and with the demands of that profession, I did want to retire a little early, so I did. I enjoyed my time tremendously, but after 2 years or so, it's like I wanted to try my hand at something I had always wanted to do, which is going to sound maybe crazy to a lot of people. I always thought it would be fun to work in a store. So I applied to a women's clothing store over the holidays, was hired, and it is so much fun and so relaxing. I just love doing something so opposite of what I had done before.
Emily, what would you say for people who go 100 miles an hour in a job for perhaps their whole career and then stop right there like Sally did and enter retirement and suddenly they're faced with this, you know, not have all these work commitments constantly? It's a complete radical change.
I think if you have a job that is stressful or you dislike, retirement can really be an escape from that. But it's important to think carefully before you do that. I think some people retire because they want to get away from a job that's not working for them. And so what they really need then is they need a good long break from working. You've been working for decades in some cases, and you really need some downtime to really recover from a stressful job. You might have been on your feet all the time or doing something quite stressful, and you need a chance to unwind and relax a little bit. And so sometimes that even takes a year or two to really recover if you'd been working for a very long time. But then eventually you get to this point where you want to go out again and be among people and do something different. And it sounds like she really found her place. It can be a store is often a great place to pick up a part-time job, and it can be a type of job that you're interested in. Women's clothing is a great one because a lot of people are very interested in clothes. You might get a discount if you work there on clothing, but it could be any kind of store that you're interested in. And around the holidays, there's often a lot of seasonal work to pick up. So that can be a great place for retirees to find a part-time job.
Sally, thanks so much for your call. Emily, your book is titled The 10-Step Solution for a Stress-Free Retirement. Can you run through those 10 steps for us?
Sure. So the first one is to maximize Social Security. This is really the base of your retirement income that your savings and any other sources of income you have build upon. The second one we touched on earlier is make the most of Medicare. It's very important to sign up for Medicare on time, so make sure you do that. And take advantage of the free services that Medicare does offer, your preventative screenings. You can get an annual wellness visit once a year. It's very important to take care of your health in retirement. The next one starts to get into savings is to boost your 401k balance. Make sure you take advantage of the tax breaks and the employer match. That's sort of the major company benefit that most people get these days. So make sure any of the perks in that you take maximum advantage of. The next one is invest in an IRA. In that case, you're often rolling over your 401k balance to an IRA when you change jobs or when you retire, so make sure you take advantage of the tax breaks there. For step five, I get into further tax diversification with Roth accounts. With a Roth account, you pay the taxes while you're working, and then in retirement, you can take the money out tax-free. So you're not stuck with a big tax bill in retirement the way you are with traditional retirement accounts. So if you're still working, take a look at those Roth accounts. You might be able to set yourself up for some tax-free income in retirement. In the next step, step six, I talk about getting the money out of your retirement accounts in a way that you're minimizing taxes on the withdrawals. So after you've been saving your whole life, that balance you have in a traditional 401k or IRA, you haven't paid taxes on it yet, and you need to get that money out in a way that minimizes taxes. And there's a couple different ways to do that to try to minimize your tax bill in retirement. The next step, step seven, is to cut costs and fees on your retirement investments. It's very important to make sure you're not overpaying on the investments in your 401k and IRA. One document that's really helpful is called your 401k fee disclosure statement, which your 401k plan is required to send you every year. This document will list every fund in your 401k plan and how much it costs to invest in it. Mm-hmm. You can use this to calculate how much you're paying, but also to see if there are lower cost funds in your 401k plan that you could switch to that might lower the cost on your investments. Everyone should look at this this document every year and see if there are lower cost funds in your plan that might meet your investment needs and that can save you money for the rest of your career and even throughout retirement.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's a fairly new document. It's only a couple of years old, and if you can look at it every year, it makes it very easy and convenient to see how much each fund is costing. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have about less than a minute here. What are the final steps?
So the final ones, we talked about these a bit, are to control your housing costs. There's a lot of room there to save money in retirement. We talked about reducing your cost of living and the discounts and how to cut your expenses. And then the last one we talked about a lot is really reinvent your life. And that's really what retirement is. It's the chance to reinvent your life in a way that doesn't involve work every day, but can involve work if you want it to.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise.
And thank you for having me.
Emily Brandon is senior editor for retirement at U.S. News and World Report. She's author of Pensionless, the 10-Step Solution for a Stress-Free Retirement. Let's continue the conversation on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Post your thoughts about retirement and what it means for your life in 2017. Thanks to producer Chris Molina, who is hopefully not catching the retirement bug anytime soon. Coming up tomorrow at this time, it's The Week in Review. Two guests from different political perspectives. That's The Week in Review tomorrow after 8:00.